This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:20 in the morning, Thursday the 11th of February, and in about half an hour we're going to be speaking with Dr. Musa Nordin for his view on the latest revisions to COVID-19 SOPs. But in the meantime, as we prepare to celebrate the Chinese New Year, let's also take a moment to remember those around us who may be a little bit less fortunate. Now, according to UNICEF, unemployment among heads of low-income urban families in KL low-cost flats has doubled during the CMCO last year, and this is based on a survey jointly done by UNICEF and UNFPA, so that's the UN Population Fund, in December last year. The organizations put out the third edition of its Families on the Edge report series earlier this week.
It is based on a group of 500 families living in KL low-cost flats, and the report found that joblessness among the group doubled from 7% in September 2020 to 15% in December. Unemployment among female head of households and persons with disabilities also increased to 13% for female head and households, and 50% for persons with disabilities. Poverty rate among the families also remained high at about 42%. For families with persons with disabilities as heads of household, the poverty rate is 55%. For families with female heads of households, it's about 60%. So some dire numbers there. And we've actually had this conversation on The Breakfast Grill. You can just search it up if you look for UNFPA.
Indeed, we have. So we're going to be taking a look at this as well with Stephen Barrett, Chief of Social Policy at UNICEF Malaysia. Stephen, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today. Now, your report noted that while some families have started to recover, there are those that have continued to deteriorate financially as well. So what is the rate of recovery versus deterioration amongst households? And are we seeing a trend where the deterioration is outpacing households which are recovering?
Right. So what we're seeing is that just about, over half of the study participants had managed to return to their pre-COVID-19 income level, which is great news. But just under a half of households had actually reported a decline in their incomes since September as a result of the October MCO, and were still below their income level that they were at in December 19. And what we're seeing here is a differential experience within the study participants, with households who are female-headed households, households affected by disability, and those that rely mainly on informal or self-employment. They're the ones who have experienced declines in income since the last survey round in September. I think it's also important to note that even the households that have recovered to their previous income level are still largely in relative poverty and with depleted savings, and have very low capacity to cope as we go into the MCO 2.0.
Do the results of the study reflect a failure of the government's ability to address the needs and concerns of those affected by the pandemic? What are the gaps that you can highlight regarding the various stimulus measures announced by the government to address the economic plight of the pandemic?
I think that the study does confirm that many of the government's responses to COVID have been critical. So the BPN in particular was a critical lifeline for many low-income families. But that program has now expired. The last payments were in January. And now the government has announced its intention to expand eligibility for the social welfare programs, the core social welfare programs managed by JKM, which I think that's a critical move, which will support the population to weather the storm over the next few months. Essentially, it's an exit strategy for the COVID response. So I wouldn't say there are gaps in the fiscal stimulus strategy. I think what we need is a strong exit strategy, which needs to go back to the core welfare and social protection system, which needs to be expanded to cover a broader proportion of the most vulnerable populations. I think there could be a need to expand support for low-income self-employed workers, depending on how things develop over the coming months. But as I said, what we need is an exit strategy which is built on strengthening the mainstream social protection system.
But before we dive into more on the social protection system, Stephen, your study also highlighted that mental health is a growing concern amongst households. It shows an increased prevalence of stress amongst respondents and concerns regarding inability to provide. So what could be the impact to society if this issue is not addressed?
I think it's really important that we all understand that mental health is linked to a whole range of other issues, including physical health, employment, education outcomes. So if we don't mitigate impacts on mental health, we will see very, very human and economic, very significant human and economic costs downstream. In terms of the study, I think there are three impacts on areas of mental health we're concerned about. The first is that, you know, we see the mental strain imposed on female-headed households is rising particularly strongly. And this can impact negatively on the physical health as well of women themselves, but also on the quality of care provided to children. The second issue is that, you know, the financial insecurity and psychosocial strain which is being placed on families is undoubtedly leading to increased violence against women and children, and we're seeing that across the world and also in Malaysia. And finally, if we think about children, and particularly those in low-income families, they are likely to be experiencing very deep-seated psychosocial impacts at this time as a result of the protracted confinement, reduced socialization, reduced opportunities to play. And these are critical for the mental health of children. And if we don't address that, you know, we will see in the future behavioral challenges in school, risk of increased risk of school dropout, substance abuse, self-harm.
So all of this undoubtedly points to the issue of a need to reimagine social protection for the most vulnerable in Malaysia. But what kind of system and method would you suggest, especially given the current times? It seems quite unlikely for the Malaysian government to adjust its system. Or would you say it's the most opportune time?
So the international evidence is very clear on this issue. And the countries that have made the most progress in tackling child poverty, for example, are those that combine a mixture of broad-based social welfare programs, so family benefits, disability benefits, social pensions, etc., combined with targeted labor market interventions for low-income workers. So those latter policies include unemployment benefits, working family tax credits, childcare subsidies, etc., targeted at low-income families to help them improve their wages. I think, you know, the government has already committed to expanding coverage of the core social welfare programs, and I think, you know, the key question now is how far will that expansion go in the short term. You know, whether this is the perfect time or not, I think in globally there has been an unprecedented expansion of social protection systems around the world, and previous economic crises have been opportunities when that has also happened. So, you know, we're hopeful that that measures will be taken, and I think already, you know, the government has announced a commitment to doing that. So I think that's a sign that we're moving in the right direction.
So given the current state of things and how MCO 2.0 has been extended to mid-February, with a CMCO to very likely follow suit, what is your outlook for the coming months, especially since your next State of Households report is due in April?
So this really depends on how COVID-19, the pandemic, develops over the coming weeks and months. And as we've all seen, this is highly unpredictable, you know, everywhere. You know, but generally, I would say that we expect the trend that has been observed to date to continue between now and April. So a good proportion of low-income families continuing the road to recovery, admittedly to a pre-existing position of vulnerability. I do want to emphasize that. While other the most vulnerable section of our sample, so female-headed households, households affected by disability, the self-employed, you know, they are really going to struggle, and we would not be surprised to see a continued deterioration of their situation, you know, over the coming weeks and months, particularly if no additional measures are put in place. You know, whatever the situation, I think it's really important to recognize that by April 2021, you know, low-income families in Malaysia will have experienced over a year of hardship, and that has depleted families' financial, physical, and emotional resources. And, you know, the long-term impacts of that really can't be understated.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Stephen. That was Stephen Barrett, Chief of Social Policy at UNICEF Malaysia, highlighting the dire circumstances that many urban poor families are facing in this time. Now, up next, we're going to be taking a look at another heavily impacted group, seafarers, speaking with Guy Platten, Secretary General of the International Chamber of Shipping. That's happening after the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.